The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the Gospel of the Lord. And as the congregation seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's message, calling all kids. Hey, Jacob. We had so many kids at first service today. Come on down. Good. I think all the kids came to first service because they had to go to the Christmas play practice. What do you think about that? There were a lot. Yeah. Hey, Liam, how you doing, buddy? All right. Good morning. Okay. Still five. You're still five today. All right. Keep me posted. You're five and a half now?
No, I'm five.
Okay. Well, keep me posted. Gotcha. With all of the blue today, we're in a new season. Do you all know what that's called?
Christmas.
It's almost Christmas. See that word up there? It's called Advent. Advent. Advent means something new, something's beginning, something is happening.
Christmas.
And Christmas is coming, but before we can have Christmas, we have to have Advent. Advent's an important part of that. Now, when I hear the word Advent, I also think of something that we learn how to do in math. What's the first type of math you learn? Is it long division? It's adding. That's right. Adding. And in Advent, we add things. I want you... Yeah, all those ways of doing devotionals, that's good. But what we'll see in church is we're going to see us add things every week and more things outside and inside that help us see that there's something special happening, like lights. That's perfect. And each week, one more light is going to be added. So today we have one candle lit. How many do you think we'll have next week? Two. And then we'll add another one and we'll have three. And we'll do that every Sunday in Advent. And then, Liam, you're right. Guess what happens at the end of Advent? You are absolutely right. That's right. All the five-year-olds of the world rejoice because Christmas is coming. So remember that in Advent, we don't want to rush to Christmas, but we want to think about every week how we can add to all the ways that God blesses us and think about the ways that we can help others. Should we remember that? Sounds good. Let's say a prayer. Good morning, God. Thank you for this day and for the gift of Advent. Help us to add ways to love and serve you as we love and serve our neighbor. We love you, God. Amen. Thanks for coming up, fellas. Go back to your seat. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that most pastors do in preparation for their Sunday sermon duties is to spend time reading commentaries, whether in books or online, of trusted sources for good information, for depth. You see, the pastors, we go to seminary, but that's so long ago, and our brains get cloudy that we forget everything we learn. So it doesn't hurt to go back and read new things. Maybe in the time since we've been in seminary, there's new scholarly approach or a new and exciting way of looking at things. And so we read. We read commentaries and passages and all sorts of exegetical work as it is to really be ready to share the word on Sunday morning. But I have discovered in my time here at Augsburg that one of my greatest resources in sermon preparation is not found online or in a book, but rather across the hallway from my office. As many of you know, Emily Norris, who we now call our Director of Student and Social Ministries, is also part of the collaborative learning program at Wartburg Seminary. And so while she serves us here in those roles, she is also a full-time student in school, in seminary, and this spring she will transfer into the role of being our intern. And we will call her Vicar Emily and rejoice in her leadership in the church. But with all that, Emily is learning constantly all of the things that I learned and might have forgotten 15 years ago. And so it's neat to talk with her, and we have great conversations about how God's at work in different scripture passages. Now, as we were getting ready for a new year in the life of the church, in the shift from the Gospel of Matthew to this year and year B, the Gospel of Mark, Emily and I had, as you would laugh, a theological argument. We sat there in her office and argued about which was the best gospel. It was as goofy as it sounds. Now, I tend to find my favorite gospel passages in Luke. Matthew and Luke, they're longer. They have more material to work with. They have more depth to the stories. There's just a lot to flesh out, and you can really get deep down into it. But Emily brought a different perspective. Emily reminded me of the gift that Mark brings, and the gift that we will discover this year in the Gospel of Mark as we work our way through it in the 52 Sundays to come. You see, Mark is shorter, 16 chapters in length, as opposed to 24 or 28. And Mark is a space where everything happens quickly, intentionally. Euthenos. That word, euthenos, means immediately or straight away or right now. And that word immediately appears in Mark over 40 times. Everything happens quickly. And as Emily and I were having this conversation, almost argument, if you will, she said something that I think we need to hear in the world right now. The world needs to hear God's word immediately. The world needs to know God's love immediately. And the Gospel of Mark provides that. And so here we are with an opportunity over the next year to be immersed in the Gospel of Mark and to immediately feel the power of this author's work. Now let's set the context a little bit for Mark, because we're going to be spending a lot of time with this book for the next year. First off, Mark was the first of the Gospels to be written. But I think one of the things that we need to remember about the composition of Scripture is that all of Paul's letters and most all of the other epistle letters and pretty much the rest of Scripture was all written before any of the Gospels were. And so Mark had some time to gather those resources, but also wrote his within about 2.5 decades after Jesus' death and resurrection, so that there might have still been some apostles and disciples and those who saw Jesus' experience firsthand who could recollect those, maybe first, if not secondhand, stories. Mark was written somewhere between 20 and 30 years after Jesus' death, and Mark took all of those resources into account. But what Mark also took into account, as the author of Mark would write this, was the importance of understanding the context of the day. The middle part of the first century was an awfully rough time in the world, and especially for fledgling Christians whose community was just starting out and growing in rapid ways, as we see in Acts, and in small ways in individual relationships and communities. It was awfully hard to be a Christian. First, you never knew what Rome was going to do, because depending on the emperor, for about 30 years, when an emperor switched, so too did the preference towards Christianity. Some just kind of tolerated it, but others saw it as an instant death sentence. And so that struggle with Rome was hard for Christians. The other piece of the pot was that everything was rapidly changing in the world, and that there was a time that these Christians were trying to figure out what that meant in their understanding when they were told that their Lord would be coming back and claiming them again. They thought that that was going to be instant, so they were waiting. But as every day and week and year would pass, there was a little bit of uncertainty on what was to happen. Finally, the culminating moment happened in 70 AD when the temple, which was the source of gathering not only for religious events, but community and culture in the life of faith of the Jewish people, which were the ones who preceded the Christians, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So clearly all of these things led to a time of chaos and it led to a time of fear and concern. And Mark understood that in the midst of all of that, a word of God, a gospel, a source of good news needed to be proclaimed, and it needed to be proclaimed immediately. That's the sense of the immediacy, the euthanos, that we'll get throughout the year in this gospel text. Mark wanted to gather all of the sources that the author could and put into place a gospel passage that could be a source of comfort for those who waited, for those who wondered what we still proclaim in our creed today, when Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. They thought that that was an instant thing, but they came to understand differently, and they understood that in that they had no idea what that would mean. And so they find themselves reading carefully the gospel text we just heard today. Now, one might assume with a new year and being into a new gospel that we'd start at the beginning. But as you can see, we jumped all the way almost to the end today with the 13th chapter, with apocalyptic words attributed to Jesus about what would happen in the end time, and that what happened with Noah would only be a glimpse of what could happen. These words are actually words of comfort for those who heard them, because it was a promise that Christ would again come. It was what they longed for. It was what they waited for. And they needed to know that that promise stayed true. But the author of the Gospel of Mark reminded them that nobody knew. Nobody knew the hour on which the Son of Man would come again. And so it was important to keep awake. 20 centuries later, I don't think anything has changed. We live in a world of chaos, where the global state of things is chaotic and frightening, with news now that a missile can reach anywhere, and this man is no longer one who's just rogue. We see the climate of the world changing rapidly. We see a political discourse in this country that is more separated than we ever have before, regardless of which perspective we see it from. We see struggle in life. We see brokenness in relationship. We see the temples of our lives and the things that we hold important to us come crashing down. And just like first century Christians did, so too do we need to hear this word. And we need to hear it immediately. Immediately. When we hear this word, it's not something that we're called to just hold in and rest comfortably in. Rather, we are, throughout the year in Mark, going to be challenged to draw that out and to figure out what that means in our own lives and as a community of faith. What is God immediately calling us to do? Where are the needs of the community that God is immediately calling us to address? What in our lives needs immediate attention? I have to tell you that when I confess and think of the ways that I fall short of God's goodness, I often have to acknowledge some of the dirtiest words I say. Friends, they're not four-letter words. It's a three-word phrase. Just a minute. Give me a little while. I'll take care of that later. When we say those things to our children, to our spouses, to coworkers, here in the life of community, when we put things off and procrastinate, we miss the immediate, euthanos nature of what this gospel calls us to do. What are we waiting for? When immediately we're called to keep awake. When in this world we live in today, we've been woke. And we see that God's love immediately needs to be shared. And so I find comfort in the words that we prayed at the beginning of our worship service today. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. There's something very urgent about that. There's no time to waste. And so it's fitting that as we enter this Advent season, a time of preparation and hope and longing, that we don't just rest on our laurels, but rather that we seek ways that God is guiding us in our lives to immediately love and care for one another. It's easy to put things aside and say we're too busy, or we don't have enough resources to deal with it, or we're tired, or whatever it might be. But think about the other side of that equation. How many times have we thought about the person who just is struggling with this time of year, alone, grieving? And our response is, I'm busy now. I'll call them later. Just a minute. I'll take care of that later. When we see those in need and we think, oh, maybe later, in a little while, we miss the euthanos of the moment that Mark points to us in this gospel text. That we will always have those in need around us, in our own lives and in our community. And we will always find ways to serve them. And so as we enter this year, I want us to be mindful of that word immediately, to pay special attention to it when it pops up. There's a show that I used to watch on Saturday mornings when I was a kid that had weird characters and talking furniture, and they always chose a word of the day, and every time somebody said that word, everybody screamed. Friends, for us this year, that word is immediately. And we will see that throughout our scripture passages as we engage deeply in this Gospel of Mark. And what Emily told me when she did indeed win that argument that day is that the gospel is something immediately to be shared. It is not something that we are to hide or wait or try to find a time when it's more convenient. The love of God and the promise of the good news is something to share now. In this Advent season, may we immediately go forth and share God's love with all we encounter. And we may know that the clouds that descend upon us through the grace of Jesus Christ will guide us each day. Thanks be to God. Amen.